1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and a very welcome to Liveline. 51551 is our text number. Patricia Del Monte, good afternoon, Patricia.
Good afternoon, Joe.
What happened?
My daughter, who is 21, was cycling on the rock road into town, opposite the Black Rock College there.
Okay, in
was
Dublin,
cycling
yeah.
on the cycling road
path.
And a taxi drove in the lane and really drove on the cycling path and knocked her down.
Oh,
so she fell, and she was quite shocked and hurt. And the taxi driver did stop, actually, and left his number and his name. And then he left, and he left her on the side of the road there.
Okay.
So it was just someone who went by and helped her and called the police. So the police came and brought her home, and they were very kind to her. And she was thankfully she wasn't badly injured, and she was just very shocked and very hurt.
And Patricia, did the taxi driver offer to drive her home?
He didn't, actually, Joe. No, he didn't.
Did he offer to get medical assistance?
No, he didn't. No, there was nothing like that. He left his number, all right, but he just drove back. He had a client in his car, so he drove on. So that was one thing that was quite shocking, I think. And then I was talking to the policeman, who was very kind and being really very helpful. But he said that the taxi driver couldn't be fined for dangerous driving because he wasn't driving fast, as the witnesses had seen. He wasn't driving fast. But he said he misjudged, which doesn't seem to be considered dangerous driving. He misjudged and actually knocked her down, and she fell on her head and didn't hurt herself because she had the helmet.
Yeah.
So I thought that was quite shocking, that the fact that, you know, misjudging wouldn't be considered dangerous driving, even though this man was a professional driver. So that I think it needed to be addressed and taken seriously, really.
And Patricia, when your daughter was knocked off the bicycle, and you're adamant she was in a cycle path, and she was on a cycle path.
Yes.
And she fell to the ground, but maybe she said to the taxi driver, "No, I'm okay. Leave me alone."
She may well have said that. I mean, you know, that's she wouldn't want to attract too much attention to herself, and that's well possible. But she was crying, she was bleeding, her face was all swollen, and she was shocked. She said she couldn't even move for a short while because she was terrified a car would drive over her while she was trying to recover and realize what was going on. No, she was hurt.
Okay, and there was, this was last Friday. What time?
It was in the morning. It was about 11 o'clock in the morning.
So 11 o'clock last Friday morning.
Yes.
And you say there was a passenger in the taxi, so two people would have witnessed what happened.
Yes, at least. I mean, there were other people who did witness and who left their numbers and actually talked to the police. So they were able to say to the police that the taxi driver was not driving fast. And that is why the police said this was not considered dangerous driving.
It was a misjudgment.
A misjudgment.
Did the taxi driver apologize, Patricia?
Well, actually, I don't know that. I suppose I haven't spoken to him yet. I don't know.
Has he attempted to contact your daughter?
No, he hasn't contacted us. I think he contacted the police, all right. Yeah. And
taxis are very identifiable now, in fairness, in that there's a number on the roof. You can remember the number pretty quickly.
Yes.
So he was right to, as I'm sure they all do, he was right to report it and to give us details. But people will be baffled. Unless there's another side to it, that he didn't stop or offer, or the passenger didn't get out and say, will we bring you to a hospital, or will we ring
home? Yes.
Will we ring your parents or ring a friend?
Exactly. Actually, she had no phone on her, and she had to just wait till someone, a lady, came and started to talk to her, and then she, this lady, rang the police, and the police came and helped her. So otherwise, she would have just been left there. Her bicycle was very damaged, and she couldn't get home anyway with a bike as it was. So so it just is a worry for me to think that situations like that are not taken that seriously.
Now, it is a worry generally for people on bikes, and Blackrock, unfortunately, as I can nearly say about every city location in or every location in our cities, that Blackrock has not been without its major tragedies, its catastrophes for cyclists recently.
Absolutely.
One lost her life, unfortunately.
Yes.
Okay, and the Gardaí say that's the end of it.
Well, I mean, they did say we could pursue it. I think that the taxi driver is to give his insurance number and things like that, and he should get back to us, I suppose. We haven't done anything since Anaïs is my daughter is okay now, I think it's more to attract attention that I wanted it to be made more public, because we're all on our bikes. We're all very keen to cycle into town, and we're all very careful. But we, despite all the care we take using helmet and using cycling paths, we're not protected, and that's, I think, is something that needs to be addressed, and people should be very careful, and maybe something should be done about it.
Would an apology from the taxi driver help?
Well, I suppose yes. I mean, something like that. I think an apology for not helping.
Because
her
we know he didn't do it deliberately, so it was a misjudgment.
Something like that, would probably help. Okay. But I think more so would help for all taxi drivers and all professional drivers not to misjudge. I think that is just
and to be very conscious. To be conscious
when you're a professional driver.
Yeah. And be conscious of cyclists. Okay, I hope she makes a full recovery,
thank
Patricia.
Thank you very much.
And thank you very much for your call.
That's
Patricia Del Monte, 51551. Olaf there? Olaf Gill is in Dublin City. Sorry, you're hearing about Patricia. You say you're a commuter cyclist, and the bike lanes are on the edge of the road and can be dangerous in themselves.
There's a number of things, Joe. First of all, I think it's not safe for bike lanes to share space with taxis and buses. I think it's always worthwhile to invest in cycle lanes being completely, compartmentalized, so that there's no other traffic impeding on them. And the second thing is that I often notice cycling around town, I'm out to Clondalkin and in and out a couple of times a week, that cleaning of streets or sweeping of streets leads to debris and often broken glass being on the edge of the road, which means that you're guaranteed to get pick-up punctures all the time, and you'd be veering in and out trying to avoid that, and then you're annoying other drivers and putting yourself in danger as well. So there's all kinds of things that I think can be improved.
And Roddy Tyrrell is there as well, Olaf. Roddy, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. Roddy Tyrrell here. Yes, listening to the conversations there, Joe. That first person, unfortunately, was knocked down off the bike lane. Similar instance happened to me. I'm a cyclist. I also happen to be a solicitor, but that's only by the boys.
Okay.
Similar situations have happened to me on a regular basis cycling around the city, where all drivers, taxi drivers, they're no worse or better than every other driver, including bus drivers. But essentially, the point I want to make is that the pass that all drivers seem to get when cyclists are involved in any instance that they haven't been injured. I was in a similar incident to that lady on a bus line, going about my business, doing nothing wrong, not breaking any lights, as we're all accused of doing, but on the bus lane or the bike lane as normal. A driver pulled directly in front of me, took a chance that I would suddenly stop or that I was made of rubber. As luck would have it, a police car saw her pulling in front of me. I had to veer in and follow her around or else hit her, and stopped right in front of the police car. The police got out of the car and more or less chastised the lady, didn't prosecute her, didn't do anything to her. And when I kind of got a little bit vocal, because the adrenaline pumps.
Yeah.
When you're nearly killed, I assure you, the adrenaline pumps. That's probably why that young lady got up and said, I'm okay. It's not her saying it's okay, it's the adrenaline saying it's okay. But in any event...
So you, what did you say to the Gardaí?
Fairly vocal, but essentially the guards then more or less said, look, be reasonable, nothing happened, you weren't hurt. And of course I wasn't hurt, not because of any part in the driver, but because I stopped in time.
And was the phrase used that was used with Patricia's daughter, it was a misjudgment by the driver?
No, I didn't even get that. The driver walked away with a big smile on their face into the garage to do about their business. And the guards then said, I'm being unreasonable. And being a man of certain years, I decided, well, I'll walk away with my tail between my legs.
Olaf wants to come back in there. Olaf, stay there, buddy.
I'm just listening to that gentleman there. When you have a situation where vehicles and bicycles are competing for the same space, inevitably you have to be a bit more aggressive to kind of assert yourself. So what happens then is you have bus drivers...
But Olaf, do you not say... Like, you're the one that's going to be killed. The truck driver ain't going to be killed. Okay?
Yeah, but
so,
I do
so
think...
So why would you say you've got to... Surely you just have to say, life's unfair, I'm not going to get into a tussle with a truck or a car.
Well, I think that... There's no need to have a certain amount of responsibility as well here, Joe. I think that a lot of cyclists, particularly people who cycle professionally or as couriers, that kind of thing, are breaking a lot of rules. They're going through red lights sometimes. They're they're putting themselves and other people in danger. So I think that obviously cyclists who don't follow rules are as much a part of the problem as anything else.
Now come back
in my
to your
opinion.
Point. Are you an aggressive cyclist?
I would say I probably am. I mean, I'll certainly go toe to toe with the cyclist or a bike if I feel that they're.
No,
you know,
would you go toe to toe with a car?
It's case by case basis, Joe. It really depends. I think the only way you can solve this problem is by making completely isolated bicycle lanes. I mean, it's a no brainer from any kind of number of points of view. It improves things for commuters. It improves the health of people who are cycling. Dublin has a lot, in particular, has a lot of advantages given that it's largely flat. So, I mean, there's no reason why we can't invest more in bespoke cycle lanes.
Joe, if I can come in.
Roddy, yes, of course, yeah.
Joe, the whole, it would be great. And a solution being that we have great German-type cycle lanes, which are wonderful, which actually give way. At red lights, you can actually turn as a cyclist in Germany on red lights. That's not going to happen in Ireland. This is Ireland. It's never going to happen. We've got to work within the framework of what we've got and what we are. And like our lumpet, we're Irish. We have a certain way of doing things. And we really, the real solution is that drivers must respect cyclists. And cyclists must respect drivers. But it isn't...
Yeah, but Olaf, I come back to my point. I've yet to read, and I don't want to read... either way, but I've yet to read or hear about a truck being in a collision with a cyclist and the truck driver being killed. I've yet to read of a car being in a collision with a cyclist and the car driver being killed. I don't want to read that, by the way. So it's the cyclist that gets it all the time. So I think you're not crazy saying I'm an aggressive cyclist. I go toe to toe because you're gonna come out worse.
I'm exaggerating slightly when I say that, Joe. I'm not putting myself in any danger. But I mean, if you want to get around, if you want to use a bicycle to get from A to B, then if you were to be, let's say overly timid, or you were to not do the things you're entitled to do in the bike lanes, then you'd never get there. So I suppose what I'm trying to say is that I will use the bike lanes and I'll go quickly at the green lights and that kind of thing. I'm not putting myself in any particular danger, but the facilities can certainly be improved to make life safer for commuter cyclists.
Okay. Well, let's Olaf and Roddy, thanks. Let me go to Helen Cudahy about Patricia, the young French lady that was knocked off her bicycle by a misjudgment by a taxi driver, according to the Gardaí. Helen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Now, Joe, I didn't witness that now or anything.
I know that, yeah.
But I've just explained to the girl, and, I think cyclists and us drivers should be all able to live in the same area for we should be able to live together in the area. But at the same time, I witnessed, I think it was three or four times in the last month, I came down to the end of Carysfort Avenue, stopped at the red light, there's one cyclist each time on the inside. And he looks right and left, and he sails through the lights. Now, we have to stop at the lights. I know there was probably nothing coming the other way, but still, in the interest of his own safety, he should stop.
It's unsafe.
Don't you agree?
Absolutely, Helen. I mean, remember we had this awful story here in this programme, I think 4 years ago, of the man knocked down by a courier who subsequently died. Helen Cuddy, thanks. Indeed. Let me bring Jerry Dempsey in Dublin 851551. Jerry.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
You're the pedestrian perspective.
That's right, yeah. Walking along Ormond Quay one day, I was going to visit
Dublin,
a friend.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, with a box of buns. And this geezer ran into me from the back, up my rear end. Now, I managed to save the buns, but I wasn't the best, you know, when somebody runs into you. One of these couriers.
Well, who was in the wrong?
Well, I suppose I was in the right because I was on the footpath.
Oh, you're on the footpath?
Yeah. Up my ASS, yeah.
He was using that as a bicycle stand. And what did he say when he stopped?
Well, I turned around and I gave him a box. It wasn't the box of buns I gave him, by the way. And just I hit him in the chest, you know. And I said, F you, what are you doing on the effing footpath? And he just could not for the life understand why he shouldn't be there. He was a little bit upset that I was angry.
Well, was there any room? I'm not justifying, I'm just looking for a picture. Was there room on the road for him to cycle?
Plenty of room in the road. Joe, he was going the wrong way in any case, you know what I mean?
He was going...
If he had been on the road, he would have been going the wrong way.
He would have been going up a one-way street against.
Yeah.
Okay. And by the way, when you engage with him, I don't know whether you pushed or you boxed him, but when you engage with him, how did he respond?
I think he was a bit shocked.
I
reacted that way, you know, that I was furious.
Okay.
Absolutely. The other time it happened, a few times, walking along Dolphin Road by the canal with the dog, and from the front and from behind, they run into you. And there's a cycle lane on the road.
It's not nice to get a smack of a bike now at speed. It's a pretty, pretty traumatic and can
they
be very dangerous.
They seem to think it's their right to cycle down along Dolphin Road.
Okay.
They really think it's a cycle lane, but the cycle lane's out on the road, you know.
Okay, Jerry, thanks indeed. Jerry Dempsey,
you 51551,
you mind yourself, 51551. Jared, back to cyclists and Patricia's daughter being knocked off the bike. The taxi driver said it was a misjudgment, but she was left on the ground and the Gardaí eventually came and brought her home, and she was bruised and bleeding, according to her mother. You say you don't drive or cycle, so that means you're a pedestrian.
I'm a pedestrian, Joe. Good afternoon.
Yeah.
Now, I live in Dublin 8, and we have two very busy junctions here in Kilmainham, and I'm often walking there, and it has pedestrian crossings, and often if I have the green man to cross the road, I will have to actually look before I even step out, because a cyclist or a lorry or a van or car would often jump those red lights and just go straight through the pedestrian crossing, even though we have the right of way for crossing the road. So it's, you know, it's okay for the cyclists to always complain, you know, about the cars and so on and so forth. We often have to avoid the cyclists because they just plough straight through.
Okay, cyclist etiquette is coming under the microscope as well. Thanks indeed, Gerald. Let me bring Niall in. Niall, good afternoon. What happened?
Good afternoon.
You were stepping out of your house.
Yeah, out of my daughter's house. And I came out to the footpath, the edge of the footpath, had a look, I seen nothing, I looked left and right, and the next step I took, I was knocked to the ground with a cyclist on the footpath with no lights. It was dark, it was around 6:30, 6:45 that evening, and I was knocked to the ground, and I was taken off with the ambulance, then arrived, and I was taken off to hospital. And I suffer now from a broken pelvis.
My God.
The socket in the top of my hip is all broken. So much so that I even asked if they could do a hip replacement, and it's not possible because it's so badly broken. So I have to sit or lie for the next 3 months. I have one month down at this stage, actually, 5 weeks.
And did you get details from the cyclist?
The cyclist stopped. Well, he had to stop because he fell. He went sort of over me and he fell. And the person that was with me then got details off him. I wasn't able to do nothing, you know.
And who's going to look after your medical bills?
Well, this is it, and I'm self-employed, so my business is going to go now because, like, I repair cookers and central heating, and, like, people have been ringing and ringing, and we just have to let them go back to the dealers, you know.
So your livelihood is damaged as well?
Yes, yeah. So I don't know where I stand. If there's anyone out there that can give me any advice, I'd be too happy to accept anything.
And did you get the details of, I don't want the name, but did you get the details off the cyclist?
Yes, in all fairness now, like, he didn't rush off, and he did give his details, which proved to be true, because we didn't even ring for the guards, but the guards did arrive. I think it was as a result of the 999 call.
Yeah.
And guards came as well, and a guard have contacted me since, and he have been in the guy's house, like, so he did give the proper details, all right, I would have to say.
Okay, but your question is, what happens if you are knocked down by a cyclist, and you are out of work or out of your employment for a number of months? Have you any comeback?
That's what I'd love, if there's anyone listening that can give me any information, you know, to be great, you know.
And how are you today?
Once I'm sitting or lying steadily, I'm okay. The pain isn't too bad, but I have been in a lot of painkillers. But with the past week, it's taken a little less than I was in the early stages, you know.
Sounds awful. Tony, stay there. Like Tony Whelan, that's Niall. Tony Whelan is in Georgetown. You heard Niall's awful story there, and he's still going through it. But you want to ask a pretty straightforward question.
Well, a straightforward question. I thought that in the morning, even if the girl was on the centre of the road, and even if the taxi was going 5 miles an hour, if you have an accident, you must stay at the scene of that accident.
That's true.
In other words, you can't go away and report it the next day. So it's an offence to leave the scene of an accident. That was just my point.
Okay, that's a very good point as well. And then the guard is saying it was a misjudgment by the taxi
driver.
Well,
I think the guard, I don't know what he was thinking, but that's he's wrong.
Why?
Well, because it's a rule of the road. You have an accident, just stay. Even if you had a minor mishap on your car. Now, it's only car damage, I think people can get together. And
also, the taxi driver,
well,
obviously...
If you knock someone down...
Yeah, he was in the car, he wasn't injured. He had a radio, he had a phone, I presume, and maybe the passenger had a phone as well.
So you can't very well drive off.
Did they ring the guards? No, they didn't, from what Patricia said.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, okay.
But it's definitely an offence to drive away.
Okay, well spotted, Tony. It's Tony Whelan and Niall Buckley. I hope you make a full recovery ASAP, Niall. 51551. Let me bring Tom Moore. Tom, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. Thanks for taking the call.
Okay.
I hope I do the best I can from where I am. But I didn't hear the start of the problem about the girl, and it's unfortunate that actually happened. But from my experience and the job that I do and driving around, I would have to say that cyclists don't do themselves any favours, in the sense that a lot of them don't wear high-vis. They don't wear clothing appropriate to where we are in the Northern Hemisphere. The low-light qualities, the dark evenings coming in, like the nighttime rolling in a lot earlier, and then... Because a cyclist can see a driver, they expect the driver to be able to see them, and that's not the case at all. If you're wearing dark clothing and you're behind a wheel, that cyclist becomes invisible. Now, if they have lights on their bike, they're certainly improving their visibility. But generally speaking, from my experience, they come out of everywhere, and we're expected as drivers to foresee that and know that they're there and stop or whatever. We're meant to know all this. And
I thought it was obligatory for cyclists to have, obviously, lights. That's obligatory. That's the law. But also some form of visibility in terms of a high-vis jacket or some strips on their back or whatever. But you're saying
You're absolutely correct that it is obligatory. But in practice, they don't. I mean, I'm based out here in Talla, and I can tell you one thing, there's an awful lot of people going around on bicycles, and they come off the curb where it's dished at your driveway, and it's like a little ramp, and they come out in front of you, and they kind of look at you as if to say, well, what's your problem, mate? I should have known that you were there. But they don't wear proper visibility, and they don't have lights on that bike. And these are kind of little stunt bikes where they do all sorts of tricks on them. And I meant to know in advance that, oh yeah, this is what he's going to do, and that's where he's going to land, and I meant to make an allowance for that.
Okay, and as I said earlier, there's a hierarchy. In one sense, the truck driver, the car driver, will not come off worse in an altercation, so to speak, with a cyclist. But a pedestrian does come off. If a pedestrian gets a smack of someone on a bike, as we heard from Niall there, you come off very, very badly.
They cycle on, out here in Tallaght, they cycle on footpaths. They drive on cycle lanes. They park on cycle lanes. And there's plenty of room on some of the roads. And on the other roads, this is the reason why they're on the footpath. Because if they're on the road, they probably get blasted out of it. Or if you go into a housing estate where you've got cars parked, opposite cars, are it's almost like a chicane in trying to get through to go to your friend's house. The cyclist is not making himself very visible.
And everyone needs to be vigilant. Okay, thanks indeed, Tom. That's Tom. It's a terrible line or whatever in the middle of a motor with Tom Moore in Tallaght.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Sean is in Dublin. Sean, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Your uncle.
Yes, an uncle of mine knocked down and killed a student about 5 years ago in the Dundrum area.
A cyclist.
And the person was absolutely devastated for the rest of their lives. He died, you know, not very long ago with the guilt and the memory of this thing.
And it was a cyclist. What happened, do we know?
What happened was the cyclist was cycling along, Joe, in total darkness, couldn't be seen. He was a young student, and I think he was going to UCD. And he was killed, and that was it. But the point I'd love to make to you is that if you or somebody could pick up on this thing, that a light on a bicycle nowadays costs nothing. Yeah. If you knock around the Dundrum area, for instance, you'll find endless people cycling up and down in pitch darkness, invariably wearing dark clothes, and we could save one life before Christmas if the guards or somebody would just do something about this everyday occurrence.
And when your uncle hit this cyclist accidentally, did he realise immediately it was catastrophic?
Oh, well, it didn't happen there and then, Joe, but the young chap died a short time afterwards.
Yeah.
Absolutely awful and devastating. But the same thing is, I'm sure the figures for Dublin, like every other city, the figures for cyclists being killed is huge, but such a simple intervention, I think we need to do something to save these people's lives if they don't have enough sense and cop on to go and buy a small little light, which is such a simple thing nowadays.
And was there any calming your uncle in the argument that it wasn't his fault? And
stayed with him for the remainder of his life. Okay. His guilt was so devastating he couldn't live with it, and he relived the thing over and over again. And if that was an ordinary small little light, front and rear of the bicycle, he would have seen him. He says he saw nothing. He came out of a driveway, hit this poor chap, and that was the end of it.
And did a Gardaí, what did they say?
Well, the whole, all of this happened, ambulances, everything else, but it was, nothing could be done.
Yeah. In other words, everyone accepted that it was just an accident.
Oh, absolutely, Joe, yes.
Unavoidable in that sense. Unavoidable.
I know. If a very, very inexpensive light was bought, and if we could set up
see,
a fund...
I don't know whether you've seen it in Dublin, but I've seen in Dublin, Gardaí checkpoints, but they're giving out high-vis jackets to cyclists. They're pulling in cyclists and giving them free high-vis jackets. But anyway, that's an awful burden
and an awful
tragedy for that cyclist family.
I'm sure, Joe, if you're driving around Berlin or Frankfurt, you wouldn't be allowed to cycle along in total darkness, you know, in evenings. But there are so many dark roads all over Dublin, and it's such a terrible, terrible thing to happen to anybody. And then the person who causes the accident, they have the guilt of this for a lifetime. So can anybody come up with some suggestion as to what can be done? Because obviously the guards are turning a blind eye to this thing. Because it should be an offence. Surely it must be an offence to cycle in darkness.
Okay, Sean Whelan, thanks indeed. And that's an awful tragedy to befall one, that cyclist, and two, the poor man that accidentally knocked him down and killed him.